This is a podcast that wants to help you change your relationship with money. If your relationship with money isn't that healthy at the moment, you're in the right place. If you're thinking, I've got a good, healthy relationship with money, awesome. Keep it that way. Use this podcast to inspire you to keep dialed in with your financial goals, with your investing, with paying off debt, with building your emergency fund, with upskilling on your career. Now, in today's podcast, I'm talking with Catherine. She's a regular in the Facebook group. She's been a longtime listener, and I love doing these episodes where I just get to talk with people just like you, just like me. We're out there, we're living, we're trying to do the best with our money. We've all got a money story. So let's learn from each other and keep dialed in and be encouraged. If you are new to our podcast or drop in and drop out from time to time, I just need to let you know we've also got a podcast called Financially Fierce, hosted by Jessica Brady. She's a financial advisor. It's a slightly different format than this format here with me. And we really want to use that as another tool in your financial belt, if you want to say that. Also, if you are over age 50 or 55, or you got parents or grandparents over the age of 55, make sure you show them Retire Right, a podcast for those that are ramping up to their quote-unquote retirement from the workforce. And finally, I would like to thank today's show partner, Sky Wealth. We always talk about this. However, we just have to keep talking about it for those who aren't there yet. You need to get your income protection sorted and you need death cover. If you've got debt, if you've got dependents, please get death cover. In the last couple of years, I've been to a few funerals, one of which the person was fully insured with a family and a mortgage. The other one, they were not insured. There was a mortgage, there was a family. The differences between the two situations with some death cover in place is wild. Stuff happens. You're not getting out of here alive, neither am I. So you've got to protect that downside risk. Also with your income insurance. If your income stopped tomorrow, guess what? You are screwed. So make sure you reach out to skywealth.com.au. That's skye.com.au. Have a chat with them to get them to set up your insurance. If you've already got your insurance set up, make sure you review it, have a look at it, and see if your situation has changed since you have that policy. Anyway, let's get into the podcast. My name's Glenn James, joined by Catherine, one of our many great listeners, and this is Money.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Catherine, thanks so much for jumping on the podcast. It's great to have you.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
Yeah. And look, it's funny, before I press record on a lot of these episodes, like I want to actually ask you and listeners that I interview about your money story. But I'm like, oh, I'll just wait and press record and then ask so everyone hears it at the same time. But look, give us a snapshot of your current position from what you do for work, where you live. Do you live with people? Do you have partner? Do you have several partners? Like, what's the current position for Catherine?
So I am living in Sydney with my partner. We live in the inner west of Sydney, and I am a lawyer. So I've been a lawyer for about 5 years. Still fairly baby lawyer. So that's kind of where I am at the moment. I feel like having 2 years of my very early career being COVID has thrown stuff out a bit. So I don't feel like I'm as established in my career maybe as I thought I would be 5 years in, but really enjoying my work and love the Sydney life.
And how old are you, Catherine?
I'm 29.
Awesome. What type of law do you practice?
So I work in commercial litigation. So I work in a big law firm doing disputes for big companies. So, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. I always think when I ask a lawyer about like what type of law do they practice, and I feel like saying, oh, when are you going to stop practicing and actually do it professionally? All right, tough crowd.
I feel like that's a good thing actually about being a lawyer is like you can't ever like reach 100% of like knowledge. Like you're always practicing.
Yeah. And I think the interesting thing about law, like if I could do my life again and I was very intellectual and could concentrate and read and comprehend and all that, I would want to be a lawyer, either do commercial litigation stuff like you or estate planning, because it's just so fascinating looking at case law and different outcomes. And yeah, it really is a very interesting career choice.
Yeah.
Is your plan to ever want to open your own law firm or move up a bit more of a corporate ladder? Like what type of personality are you? Is that something that interests you?
I definitely don't want to open my own firm. I think one, maybe we'll get into this later, but I think seeing my parents have their business kind of put me off that forever. I mean, one thing that I have been considering is to go to the bar to become a barrister. But that is essentially like owning your own business as opposed to working, you know, at a firm. So, you know, maybe when I'm a little bit more like financially established, I'll consider that more. But at the moment, I love working in a big firm with all the kind of structures around me, and getting paid once a month is nice. And I think also, you know, considering if I want to start a family, you know, I think having that, you know, parental leave is something that I'd want to, you know, have available as opposed to, you know, being on my own.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it. Like you just kind of go through, like I think as a younger person, particularly under 30, I was talking to someone the other day and you're there with your thought process, but for everyone else, like, and no one's above this, you've got to do your time, don't you? Like you have to put in the years, the hard years. And you said yourself, like you may have felt that you lost a couple of years with the COVID stuff, but you're still in the game. It probably just didn't feel as, I don't know, real as what it could be.
Yeah, I think also you lost that time kind of networking and building your relationships. And a lot of the, especially in commercial law, you know, a lot of it is building your network so they're your future clients. So, yeah, but I've still got the rest of my life to work. So, yeah, not too worried about that.
No, that's awesome. Before we get on from this whole lawyer thing, you know, back in, I was just thinking because you do commercial law and a good friend of mine and she owns a law practice and she's a commercial lawyer effectively. I sent her a Valentine's Day text a couple of months ago and the text was, Valentine's Day shopping for lawyers is impossible. What do you all like besides being right, money and yourselves? Such a good giggle out of that.
That's funny.
Yeah. So the apartment that you're living in right now, because I just want to get a snapshot of where you are now and then we'll go backwards. Are you renting? Do you own? What's that situation?
Yeah, so we're currently renting the apartment that we live in and we're looking to move into a property that my partner's parents own. So we're going to do a bit of a block situation to do some renos on that property and then move in. But yeah, we've been renting for the last couple of years.
And is that move location still in the inner west vibe, or will you have to move out a little bit?
A little bit further out. So we're currently in Balmain and we're just moving up a bit further up the river to Hunters Hill. So still, on the ferry line.
Yeah, yeah. And is your partner in the law world as well?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Wow, fascinating dinner conversations, right?
Yeah, we are both kind of like really into, like we're lawyers that love the law and always talking about like legal problems. So it's a good match, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. Like I always think like, oh, imagine if I like got together and married another business owner. It'd be like, let's take over the world, pew, pew. So have you always been in Sydney?
Yeah, so grew up in Sydney. Always lived in Sydney, not very far from where I am now.
Yeah, awesome. Now, if we rewind back, you touched on it. What does money mean to you now, like right at today? If I said, Catherine, what is your definition of money and what does it mean for you?
I think to me now, it is like a friend that I like to keep at a distance. I like to have things kind of automated so I don't have to think about it too much because I tend to stress about money a lot.
And you mentioned growing up. What was your experience of looking into money and being around businesses or money growing up, and how has that shaped where you are today?
I think growing up, my experience was that money was always like something to be stressed about. And so I think that's something that has, unfortunately, you know, I've carried with me through life. So as I mentioned briefly, that my parents had a business and lots of stress when I was in high school. They, my parents had to sell their house. So it was quite stressful and I think caused a bit of like trauma around money. I still think it's hard to kind of remove myself from those kind of stressful thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe a month or so ago, we did an episode and I played a clip from a money coach and she said something that kind of rocked me a little bit in a good way, I think. She said she asked her clients if they could describe their relationship with money as if it was a person or something like that. And I was like, far out. Do you know what you would describe yours as?
I think I would describe it as like, even for my situation now, it's someone who is like really annoying, but they don't do anything like bad, like harmful. It's just like saying annoying stuff, like suddenly like pestering me, if that kind of makes sense.
My relationship with money would probably be that person in my life has really the only thing is like, is how we see money a mirror reflection of how we are. Because I see, if I was describing my relationship with money, I'm dealing with someone who is unstable, unhinged. We have a lot of bloody fun, but you're unpredictable. You've given me all this good stuff and I do have you under control, but I think it's important this to kind of dig down with what you've touched on. And because for my own personal money journey, hearing that when she asked that question, going through my own diagnosis with ADHD and being medicated now, it is like far out. All that stuff that I see about money, it's actually me. And I need to be aware of that. Does that make sense to you, do you think, like in terms of that mirror?
Yeah, that definitely resonates. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So have you ever been in debt?
Yes, I have been in a lot of debt. When I finished uni, and I always worked throughout uni and even in high school, so I was always earning money, but I love to spend it. And I went on a big holiday after I finished uni and put a lot of it on the credit card. So, yeah, I started working with about, I think, $17,500 of debt. So like a lot of credit card debt.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, then I was got sucked into using like Afterpay and stuff. But I think having the world kind of slowed down during COVID allowed me to pay that off really quickly. And yeah, haven't been in credit card debt since I paid that off. So that's like a huge achievement for me.
Yeah. What was the kind of penny drop, rock bottom moment when you had that pile of debt? You're like, you had all the fun, absolutely. But it's funny when we do dumb things, and I've done dumb things with money. Don't worry, everyone.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of fast forward a year later and you're like, far out, I've still got this debt. I wish I didn't do that. Like, at what point did you get to that rock bottom? Like, this wasn't helpful. I'm never, ever doing that again.
Yeah, I actually remember, like, this one moment when, I had moved out of home, so I was now paying rent. I was driving And I could see that I had to fill up my car with petrol. And I was like, I literally don't have any money to put in my car. And like at this stage, I was earning like, you know, like 85K a year. So I was like bringing in like a decent amount and I had no money to pay for petrol. And I was like, oh my gosh, I never want to be in this situation again.
Yeah. Do you believe it's kind of like this thing? It's like, hang on, the money isn't the problem. How I'm handling it is actually the problem, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I thought I had, you know, I was always paying my bills on time and stuff like that. So I never thought things were out of control until that kind of moment.
Yeah, and I think that's the same. Like, we see all these stories in the Facebook group and we've heard listeners on the show and, like, things are good until they're not, right? Mm. Like, so we just have to kind of future-proof our habits and behaviors to make sure that, because if we flip it, like I always say, I'm doing the Glenn of tomorrow a favor today. Like, do not do the Catherine a disservice of tomorrow today. So it's kind of like that flipping it. And I think it does come with a bit of maturity as we grow up, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So at the moment, do you still have your HEX and help debt?
Yeah, I still have a little bit of debt for HEX.
Yep.
But I, you know, I'm in a position where I earn quite a good income, so paying that off pretty quickly. I've no choice on my own, but I think that's, yeah, it's good because I think that debt will be gone in a few years.
Yep. And there's no other debt in your life at the moment?
I do have a car loan.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Yeah. What type of car have you got?
I've got a Volkswagen T-Cross.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they're a good little,
I love
good little city runarounder.
Yeah, and I do a lot of like triathlon and sports, so I've got to put my bike on the roof and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Randomly, if you were on Hard Quiz, what would your expert topic be?
Oh, I think about this a lot because actually my partner was on, what's that show, The Chaser last year and won a lot of money on The Chaser. But, I think it would be Hamlet, the Shakespeare play Hamlet.
Really?
Yeah, I've got a few Hamlet tattoos, so I'm a big fan.
Wow, you really are.
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay, so sounds like there's another story there with your partner winning a bucket of money from a TV show. If we move to kind of your relationship with money now, what does that look like in terms of how you manage that in your own right and maybe with your joint goals as a couple? How do you do all that?
So, I mean, one of the main ways that I was able to get out of debt was using the Glenn James spending plan, which I still use today. So that's the main way I manage my money, using that as like, as you say, like a living document. So I like, you know, going in and kind of seeing, oh, do I really need 3 streaming services, that kind of thing. So that's how I manage my own money. And as I briefly mentioned before, having everything automated really helps.
And do you guys share money, share bank accounts for goals? How does that work in practice in the wild?
So we mostly keep our money separate and we have a joint account for like household expenses and rent. And then we do have a joint savings account, but that really hasn't been a priority for both of us. So we kind of put a little bit of money in there. Like, for example, we're going away over the Easter weekend to Adelaide. So, you know, accommodation and stuff will come out of that, like joint savings. But we haven't really got any long-term saving goals together.
Mm. And, you know, tell me to go away, but is there any reasons why you don't have any long-term goals together other than, I guess, having a property together? Is that the main one? Or?
I don't know. I don't think either of us were, like, fully comfortable about putting our money together. We always, you know, we're in a very privileged position where we always knew we would be able to get assistance from family to get housing. So that's, I guess, the main reason why.
Mm. Would you say you're both on the same page when it comes to money? And this isn't like the Spanish Inquisition or anything. It's just...
Yes, in terms of, you know, what we value, like, you know, we wouldn't pay for to fly business class, because, for example, because we don't value that. But I'm a big spender. I love buying stuff. Yeah. And my partner is much more conservative. So, you know, I was like, oh, I think we should get some a new bedspread because that would be like fun and let's, you know, have some more color. And he was like, no. So we're not on the same page in terms of that, but I think that's probably good. But in terms of like what we spend money on, yeah, definitely.
Okay. So just on that, we both live in an apartment that we're renting. Do we split the rent percentage-wise to our income or 50-50? How does that work?
So I do earn a little bit more than my partner, but his parents paid for his university, so he doesn't have to pay. He didn't have any HECs.
Yep.
So we end up getting like the same amount of money coming in pretty much. And so everything is split like 50-50.
Yeah, cool. Actually, that's an interesting point, isn't it, that?
Yeah.
Let me just chew on that for a second. The fact that, and you're probably not going to like my logic here, the fact that you have to pay HEX is after the fact of how much you earn, but it is compulsory.
Mm-hmm.
So you can never get, I don't know, but yeah, whatever. I'm just thinking like, because technically you do earn more at the top line, less tax equals net, but yours is less HEX equals net. So you're onto a good thing. Don't tell him. Yeah, right. Okay, so digging into this, you know, you're the spender, right? Mm-hmm. So you're welcome at my house, in my podcast, any day of the week, right? You're one of the good people out there. He's the saver.
Yeah.
Now, the bedspread thing, we share an apartment, we split the rent. We share the same bed, I would hypothesize, and we benefit from the bedding. What happens when there is a call about, I would like to freshen up this room with the aesthetics or maybe get some nicer bedspreads, and he's like, nah, no deal. Are there instances where you're like, well, stuff it, I'm buying it? Or is it because, does that fall into, that's a joint expense? And we're going into uncharted territory here that I don't even know the answer for.
Yeah. I think if I really wanted it, I would probably just buy it myself.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But, you know, we were able to, you know, I said, I think we really need new pillows. And he was like, okay, we'll get the pillows. So, you know, there's some compromise, but, you know, if I want a different colored bedspread, I'm happy to just get that myself.
Yeah, and it is trivial, like when you are, you know, living with someone and, you know, there is that dance between we want it to look nice, we live here, versus, because you're like me, right? You can go to the shops, whether it's Bunnings or Adairs or whatever, and stuff jumps off the shelf that you need that you didn't know you needed. So it does help to have that, it does help to have that counterbalance sometimes in our life, right?
Yeah, I think it's actually been good to have someone to like step in and think, do you really need that?
Yeah, awesome. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com. Click get help and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click get help.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So we're back. Just some housekeeping, everyone. Remember, if you have not subscribed to our newest podcast, Financially Fierce, you got to get on that. Have you heard of that one yet, Kat?
Yeah, I have. I've followed Jess on Instagram as well because, yeah, I've been really liking her podcasts.
Yeah, so there you go, everyone. Financially Fierce. It's a podcast. It doesn't have me on there, so it's arguably better because she's considered and planned. I'm not. And then if you have parents or people in your life that are over age 50, they've got to get their crap organized with retirement. Our other podcast, Retire Right, you can show them how to use podcasts. I'll put a link in this show notes. If you want to show them how to use and subscribe to a podcast, there's a YouTube clip that I did that you can send to them. So Retire Right for over 50s and Financially Fierce for anyone who wants to listen to money stuff from a different perspective, namely not mine. Now, Catherine, do you have any fur children or anything like that?
Yes, we have one cat called Gigi, who we adopted a couple of years ago, and my firstborn child.
Yeah, and Gigi is a joint cat?
Well, she was my cat. I mean, we were together, but she was mine. And then, my partner has become number one cat dad. So, yeah, I would say she's got, you know, both of us are her parents.
So let's forget about your partner for a minute. We've talked about managing money and all that together. When it comes to your own money situation, I like to kind of ask people like around, are you one that has a fully funded emergency fund or almost there? Like, where are you at with an emergency fund?
I am rebuilding my emergency fund. So I had a fully kind of funded emergency fund and then had some health stuff come up last year. So I was really grateful to be able to like use that on treatment. And so, yeah, my goal at the moment is to rebuild.
Yeah. And that's what it's exactly there for, right? Like stuff that we don't plan for in our budget, whether it is health treatments that come out of the blue or new bedding that we want. That's an emergency. Nah, just joking, everyone. But yeah, so all that is behind you now. So you're just basically rebuilding that fund.
Yeah, that's my main like financial goal at the moment.
Awesome. Now, do you have any share investments in your own name that you use or invest in?
I have got some ETFs, some Vanguard Diversified High Growth investments.
Yep.
I haven't invested in a while just because of other things that have come up. But yeah, that's ticking away somewhere.
Yeah. So somewhere, do you use a brokerage account or do you use the Vanguard app directly?
No, I had a brokerage account and then they changed to a different thing. And now I don't really know where it is, but...
Homework perhaps?
Yeah.
And who's your super with?
So I'm with NGS Super. It's my super seems to be like quite a healthy balance. And I'm happy with, where it's at the moment.
So NGS, did you start your career working in government or a non-for-profit or something like that?
So I worked at a school doing like swim coaching and that was like my first job. And I've just kept that ever since. And have done some research and that it still seems to be doing good.
Yeah, because I think it standard back in the day stood for non-government super. So, yeah, like independent schools and stuff like that would use it. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that you've stopped investing, like a lot of people would say that's good because your goal is to rebuild that emergency fund, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So, and just back to, because like this is the thing that I struggle with, like getting paid monthly, that's just hell. And that's, I think, why with a Glenn James spending plan, we do want to drip feed our spending to weekly so it doesn't feel as savage. How long did it take you to really get used to monthly? And back when you had that credit card and you know, started your career, were you getting paid monthly back then or were they separate issues?
I was getting paid fortnightly back then, but yeah, as soon as I kind of like came back from my trip, I stopped using the credit card. So it wasn't like I kept using the credit card. So that, you know, I think that was a good kind of behavior that I didn't keep in that cycle. But I have never really had a problem with being paid monthly because I just transfer myself once a week. And it's kind of good because if I see, like I always transfer myself on a Friday and I can see today I've got, you know, $14 left. So, you know, I'll be making lunch at home today. So I think it's good.
So everyone knows, we're recording this on a Thursday.
Yes.
Actually, I'm the same. I do mine on a Friday. But I will say, you know, Jess Brady, when, you know, the host of Financially Fierce, she got me thinking she does hers on Wednesday because it's the middle of the week. And I think her rationale was so she doesn't blow all her money going out on the weekend, because the middle of the week comes, she might do groceries. Where my thing was like, it's getting paid Friday, so I'm cashed up for Bunnings on the weekend.
Yeah, that's what I think. I'm going to go out Friday night for a couple of drinks after work, so I want to have some cash there.
Totally. So if your best friend, shout out to Catherine's best friend, what up, asked you for money advice, what do you reckon you would tell them?
I would tell them to do everything you can to stay out of consumer debt and have a plan that works for you.
That's good, isn't it? And, you know, back to the Glenn James spending plan, that plan, right?
Yeah.
I want people to outgrow it. It's just a really good starting point. I've personally started to outgrow it.
Yeah.
Just the way I've used it and customized it a little bit for myself, but I can't go and upload and change the template because it needs to be really broad. And then the more you kind of, because it's all about habits and behaviors, right?
Yeah. I think I like the, you know, I don't know if there's any other lawyers listening, but lawyers aren't very good with Excel. So it's, you know, it's good to have an Excel there that's kind of set up and then I can just like customize it to how it works for me.
Yeah, and it's weird that lawyers aren't good at Excel because they're really good at logging 6-minute increments and going to town on me. That's interesting. For me, I use lawyers all day long, every day, every week. They're just such a fun punching bag.
Fair enough.
Yeah. What do you reckon you would do if you had $10,000 drop into your bank account tomorrow?
Well, I think I would put half into my emergency fund. And then with the other half, I would go on a holiday for sure.
Yeah. Where would you go?
Well, I'm really into skiing at the moment, so I want to go to Japan to go skiing.
Oh, that's cool. So when it comes to money, we know that you love having a good time. We know that you've got good systems in place. You've got structure. Where does maybe charitable giving or generosity come into your life, if it does at all?
Yeah, so I do make room in my budget for charitable donations. And I think I'm, you know, very privileged to have a good income and to, you know, have a comfortable life. So I feel like it's super important for me to give back. So there's a few charities that I give to regularly. And As well as that, I'm really involved in pro bono work. I think as lawyers, it's super important to use your skills to improve access to justice for people who wouldn't otherwise have access to legal assistance. So yeah, I do a lot of volunteering for the Homeless Persons Legal Service in Sydney and helping people with like tenancy issues. So yeah, that's something I'm really passionate about, especially helping people with their legal problems, because that's a skill that I have to share.
And what charities do you give financially to?
So one of the charities I give to is called Equality Australia, and they are an organisation that came out of the Yes campaign for marriage equality, and now they do legal policy work to improve the laws around Australia for LGBTIQ plus people. So that's one charity that I do give to regularly. I also give to RSPCA because I have a rescue cat, and so that's important to me as well. And I donate to JURA, which is a Victorian women's Indigenous organisation.
Yeah. There you go, everyone. If you're after some charities to have a look at, we've mentioned three there. I think my last question would be, I'll end with two questions. The first one, if you were to rewind to the 14-year-old Catherine and you could tell her some advice, and this doesn't need to be money advice, what advice would you tell her?
I think I would tell her, be careful of the things that you bring into your life. And one of that is, you know, don't spend your money on crap that's just going to cause clutter. Because I think that's one thing that, you know, you don't have any money and then you have a lot of stuff, and clutter can cause like a lot of anxiety. But yeah, and also people as well, be cautious about who you invite into your life, things and people.
Yeah, and it kind of, it really does go back to, we do need people in our life.
Yeah.
But we have to consciously say, is this person for me or not?
Yeah.
Are they in my life, or am I doing life with them out of this convenience thing? Like, oh, we just happen to work together and we just happen to get lunch every day, and they're really toxic and they're spewing crap into me all day. Well, you wouldn't go out of your way out of that environment to find that person and hang out with, right?
Definitely. Or like reflecting on relationships. Don't be with someone just because you want to have a partner. You know, you're better off by yourself rather than with someone crap.
Yeah. No, there's a lot there, isn't there? And what do you think is the best thing that you've ever done? And can be, doesn't need to be money. It can be experiences, buying new bed sheets, like it really doesn't matter.
Last year I went to Greece for a month with my family, and I think that was just like the best thing. Like to take that much time off work, you know, wasn't ideal, but I thought, when am I going to get the chance to travel with my entire family again? And that was, yeah, really special experience. So definitely one of the best things that I've done.
And do you have Greek heritage, or was that just the family destination of choice?
Yeah, no, we do have my dad's Greek, and so and he hadn't been back to Greece for, you know, 30 years. So for him, you know, to be able to see some of his family and meet them for the first time, it was really special, yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of the times when we ask people those questions, people are like, oh, I bought a new Toyota Corolla. It's the best thing I've ever done. Like, it could be for someone.
Yeah.
That's fine. But most of the time, as I was teasing out the last 6 months of last year, when I was loosely teasing we're going to change the podcast name, I was like, yeah, I think we'll call it More Than Money or something, because everything we do in our life, it is more than money. The money just is the support mechanism to set our life up, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think after that trip, you know, I took a lot of time off work that I didn't have, you know, leave for. And in my, financially I was worse off, but I would never have that money in my account compared to that the memories and the really special trip that we had.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Bonus last question, because I'm a pain. What is Catherine most excited about in life at the moment?
Ooh, I think I'm excited to, I've been enjoying what I do at work, but I think I want more, and I think I want to see what, figure out what I'm really passionate about and how I can make something that I'm more passionate about and more, that's more aligned with my values, something that can bring in money. So I guess just excited to see where my career kind of goes.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Very cool.
So, Glenn, I also have a question for you, if you don't mind.
Yes. Yes.
I think I mentioned earlier about how I was not interested in kind of owning my own business. So I'm interested to hear from you how or what works for you in owning your own business as opposed to being an employee, especially when being an employee comes with so many kind of knowns and support structures.
Yeah. It's actually funny you asked that, because just before, when you talked about being most excited about stuff and you mentioned the V word, which is values, right? Like, in our book, Sort Your Career Out, the whole first chapter is on, you know, working out what your values actually are. And I think a lot of this stuff can be solved with doing that exercise, like finding out what your values are. So for you, like you mentioned, like, oh, I might be interested in, you know, doing the bar exam and being a barrister. And by nature, that type of, it's a contractor kind of self-employed role. But for me, I don't see that as, and, you know, there could be barristers listening now and about to like jump down the headphones at me, but like, I see that more as just a mechanism of how I get paid for working rather than starting this big business. Granted, you will have to go get clients, but goes back to your comment, networking, yep, I'm doing this, and you might be able to do some normal law work on the side and whatever. And again, back in that career book, it goes down to that risk tolerance. We all need to get to the stage where we are comfortable with taking risks. But for me personally, I value autonomy and I value control. And with that stuff, and because I've got a high level of risk-taking abilities or whatnot, it's really hard for me to be an employee.
Mm.
And I had to make that scary jump from employee to self-employed. But I think the difference, it goes back to like, there are a lot of doctors that I know, right? And they're really great GPs and they work out of a GP clinic. And most GPs, I won't say most, but there's a fair chunk of GPs that don't own the practice that they practice in. They literally work out of there and pay a split for the room and the admin, right? So a GP, most of them are self-employed. And it's kind of similar to your kind of a barrister role. It wouldn't be that hard over time to get the word out there and start getting jobs.
Yeah.
And sure, you will need to employ an assistant or a paralegal or a team or whatnot. But it's, yeah, I think it goes back to risk-taking and your own values. So for you, you value that sense of purpose and you may be able to get fulfillment in your life being an employee.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, a contractor where you're effectively a barrister, a hired gun. Because that's what barristers are, right? Like, we do all the work, we send them in, they knock them over and deal with it in court. I've simplified it. But.
Yeah. So, yeah, like a law firm will brief a barrister to, you know, do appearances and, yeah, some preparation. Yeah, it depends.
Yeah. I think it goes back to, if you don't have an inherent inside feeling that I want to start my own business, I want to be my boss, I want to take over the world, you may never actually go and do that. Mm. But there are situations with creative people, right? Oh, I make these nice little leather wallets, right? And it explodes. And the next minute, by default, they're a small business and I never want to do that. I just want to make level. And the kind of the risk has been taken away a bit because there's no risk of having to find work because the product that they made was so good. They're by default in that situation. So, yeah, all that to say, I don't know.
No, I think that's helpful because I think, as you said, it kind of comes down to values and risk. And at this time in my life, my risk tolerance is fairly low.
So my challenge to you would be, and we talked about this in the career book, Sort Your Career Out, how can you start to practice that risk-taking muscle?
Mm, yeah.
And that I don't know the answer to, and, you know, we could talk about it offline because I don't want to, because we may need to talk about your work and all that, but I don't think that risk-taking muscle, like, sure, putting 10 grand into Bitcoin tonight, yeah, that's a real big savage start. Like, and that's not the type of risks that we need to get comfortable in taking in this instance. So it is that, actually, we can actually do this. What about next time you're out and about or, you know, because obviously your office would engage barristers, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And you would know barristers from the Law Society or whatever, yeah. Right? So what I would probably encourage you to do to start to work on that risk-taking muscle, and remember, a lot of the time with the risk-taking muscle, it is about learning the unknowns. And then once something is known, the risk can be removed because there's no fear attached with it. Mm-hmm. So my question is, over the coming year or whatever, if there are some barristers that you get on with and they're, you know, not some arrogant old asshole person, and it might be a woman of similar age or whatnot that you get on a human level, can you say, hey, can I buy you lunch one day or buy your coffee? And I'd just love to ask about your experience and your journey.
Yeah, no, definitely could do that.
Yeah, because they would be like, oh, yeah, sweet. So I was working here and then I did the bar and then I just got offered, oh, can you work on this? And yeah, it just kind of happened. I mean, that's a pretty dumb, wild story and probably not accurate, but at least hearing a couple of physical experiences from people that you get on with on a human level, that will help lower that risk.
Yeah, for sure.
And then over time, you can be like, oh, so how does that work? Like your chambers, do you just pay a fixed fee each month and do you pay for the admin in the chambers or do you have your own staff? And you just gather information and data.
Yeah, definitely. That's great advice. Thanks, Glenn.
No worries. It's worth exactly what you paid for it. But in finishing, do you have any random PSA topics or whatever that you want to say or anything that I didn't ask you that you want to talk about?
Nothing else, but shout out to anyone in the listening or in the group who knows me. I'm happy to chat about money with you if you want.
Yeah, awesome. And how important, like, do you have other friends that you can talk freely about money with?
Definitely, like, one of my colleagues at work who I share an office with. We're kind of, like, the same stage in life. And, so we're, you know, always talking about what we want to do next and, you know, buying property or investing or just going overseas and doing something different. So, yeah.
Right. Catherine, thank you so much for being part of the This Is Money group and for being a long-time listener and user of the Glenn James Spending Plan. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Dan.
We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we live and work and pay respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to this podcast. If you are interested in furthering your education around money, your career or property, we have three books that might help. Check out Sort Your Money Out, Sort Your Career Out and Sort Your Property Out. Find these wherever good books are sold or via the link in the podcast show notes. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement, target market determination, and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Symo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, and Glenn James are authorised representatives of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.